Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody in this morning. I was going to read Psalms 67. God, be merciful unto us, bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge a people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. And God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And then verse 2 is the one that I sort of stuck out to me, I guess, or something. In the study part on the bottom of the Bible there, it says, God acts on behalf of his people, have the greater purpose of bringing others into fellowship with him. And then another study help that I found, I sort of liked how it said it. The blessing is not requested for selfish reasons or for mere personal prosperity. Instead, the psalmist prays for Israel to act as a mirror reflecting God's goodness so that every person in the world comes to know his saving power. So the challenge is, am I a mirror reflecting God's blessings? Brent will have the devotional and Marcus the message. Let's start with song number 57. Every morning, mercy's new.
Every morning. Hymn number 1, Come Thou Almighty King.
Come Thou Almighty King, help us Thy name to sing, help us to praise, Father all glorious, Lord all victorious, come and reign over us, ancient of days. Come thou incarnate Word, gird on thy mighty sword, our prayer attend, come and thy people bless, and give thy word success. Spirit of holiness, on us descend.
Come,
Hymn number 636, Pour Out Thy Spirit.
greetings and Christian love this morning. Thank you, Derek, for what you have shared. It meant a lot to me, even that first song. I want to welcome each one here. I can say it's good to be here this morning. And I also will say that it feels a little different having devotions now versus a couple months ago. Somehow has a little different dynamic. First of all, I want to thank each one for what you did for us and our family, for me and my family, whether it was prayer, a word, a deed, just thank you. It was much appreciated. Last, I thought I'd give you a little bit of what I faced and went through. It was quite a shock to us Friday night. Saturday morning, though, I had in my personal devotions Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In this particular devotion, it changed it up a little bit. It said, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. And I guess that went a long ways for me. If we have God and the Lord is our shepherd, what else do we need? A lot of the weekend was for me is I felt really human, really unqualified, and it even went through my head that maybe these people don't know me well enough. I don't know. But it got me thinking down the line of my identity. My identity in Christ. So that's my title this morning for this devotions. I'll just take you through some points here that I kind of thought about and studied into a little bit. So, identity. Each one of us has an identity. It's personal. It can be. When we meet someone, what's the first thing we give them an identity of our, you know, an impression? They give us an impression. Do we dig into their heart right off? Most of the time not, sadly. How do we evaluate them? Is it by their clothes or their general appearance? Or do we have to know what they've done in life? Like what they've accomplished? And something that I really realized when I started thinking about this was how I evaluate everyone else is most likely what I'm finding my own identity in. So it really made me, you know, when we meet somebody new, do we ask them the serious question first? You know, how are you in Christ? You know, that's the most important. I have work to do on that myself. But I want to break this identity in Christ down. Just some thoughts there that you can take and think about for your own identity. But now let's break down the identity in Christ. So I'm going to just give them to you all, and then we'll give all of them to us. There's six of them, I believe. So number one is, I am a sinner. Number two is, I am fully forgiven. Three, I am a new creation. Four, I am a child of God. Five, I am God's masterpiece. And six, I am more than a conqueror. So we'll back up here to, I am a sinner. That was number one. To have an identity in Christ, we first have to realize that we are a sinner. Like, if we don't realize we're a sinner, then we don't realize we have a need for a Savior. So the first step is to realize that I have nothing of myself. I'm a sinner just like anybody else. And I think this thought, it goes deep into our brains. It's kind of like a footer for a building. It's you got to have it or things won't last. That building will not last. But yet, unless you dig way down deep, you'll never find it. You don't see it. So it's a vital part of our building in identity in Christ. Romans 3:23 would say, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The next one, number two, "I am fully forgiven. My sins, mistakes, and shortcomings are washed away." God, we have to believe that God can do this for us, that Jesus has died for us, in whom... Let's turn to Ephesians 1:7. I'll read that verse. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And then also, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God cares for us. That was the whole story in the Bible, was that to make a way to fully forgive us. The whole Bible through. And once we find that forgiveness, that brings us to number three. "I am a new creation." Your past now does not define you or me. God has forgiven it. I have been forgiven and am made completely new. Let's turn to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 12 through 14. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints on high, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Verse 13. Is kind of what I wanted to pull out of here. He's translated us. He's given us a new outlook on life. We don't want to look back, just look ahead. I think, too, that's something that's part of our... We have to really think about that and remember that as we go through life, that we are a new creation. We have to set goals for ourselves. Another verse I have under that one is 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. behold, all things become new. Sorry, not creature. He is a new creation. And then number four, that's close, very close companion. I am a child of God. It goes right with, I am a new creation. God has adopted us into the family of God. You know, he loved us enough to call us sons and daughters. First John 3:1 says, behold the manner, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth him not, because it knew him not. And then Galatians 3:26 says, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a blessing to know that we are God's children, each one of us? And then number five, I am God's masterpiece, chosen and set apart. Each one of you is handpicked by God for a unique purpose and uniquely crafted to do good works. For me this week, it was a matter of if I'm willing to do the work God has given me to do. And I think that kind of goes for everyone here. We don't always see that same, we don't see the same picture God sees. And I just put a challenge out there. Are you willing to change to fit God's plan? And I know some, I have in the past, I've struggled to know what purpose God has given me. But I've, in my own life, I've found that just living to glorify God every day will give you a purpose like none other. Because that's all God wants from us, is to be glorified in what we do, what we say, what we think. If you can do this, you will be fulfilled. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And that'll be chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When we can start walking with God, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He'll direct us. And then 2 Timothy 3. Let's turn to that one also. So 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we can spend time in the Word and believe that we are God's masterpiece, there will, good works will be the result, bringing glory to God. And that brings us to the final one. I am more than a conqueror. Jesus gives us inner strength and victory through his love. When we can glorify God in our life, he gives us strength to overcome. Romans 8:37 says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then for a closing verse, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 4. First Corinthians 4, verses 14 through 18. Oh, that's not quite the scripture I had in mind. I wonder if it was 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 14 through 18. "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I just want to leave that with you. God will help us. He helped me through the past 10 days. And hopefully this can help somebody along the way find your identity in Christ. Because more than a conqueror is where we all want to be at the end of life. And I thought, pull a couple things out of the first song that was chosen, number 57. "Every morning, mercy's new, fall as fresh as morning dew. Every morning, let us pay tribute with the early day. For thy mercies, Lord, are sure, thy compassion doth endure." The whole song is just packed full of promises of each day. New promises every morning. With that, I just want to let that challenge to you. If you're feeling down, if you're not sure which way to turn, just remember, in the morning, God's mercy is new again. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we pause before you this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your new mercies this morning, for giving us another day to serve you, another day to glorify you. Lord, I ask that you would just give each one here strength to live a life that glorifies you. Lord, also want to pray for Marcus as he has the message. Just guide his lips. Help him to deliver what you would see fit. Lord, also just be with each family presented here. Guide and direct them in whatever they may be going through. Give them strength. Lord, also want to pray for our government, that they could do your will that we would just be submissive to your plan. Lord, we just pray that you go with us through the week. Help us to stay strong and remember that without you every day, we are nothing. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you for all the blessings, the beautiful sunshine that you've given us, and the greenness and the promise of things growing again. We just want to ask this all in thy precious name. Amen.
Number 377, Nearer, Still Nearer.
Good morning. We greet each one in the precious name of Jesus, whom we are here to worship this morning. I don't notice any visitors here this morning. If you are here, we welcome you here. Thank you for being here this morning to worship. Thank you, brethren, for your thoughts that were shared already. Are we a mirror of God's blessings? Challenge me. Do we recognize God's blessings in the first place? Thought of finding our identity in Christ. I think from my experience, we all should be searching for identity. We all should be looking for it in Christ. As we were pointed to Scripture, it's clearly pointed out where we will find that. And thank you for that. Also appreciated the songs that we sang this morning. Spoke to me as well. Many promises we sang. Many things we sang about. But in this last song, the second verse, we sang, near, still near, nothing I bring. Not as an offering to Jesus my King, only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing that blood doth impart. Grant me the cleansing that blood, thy blood doth impart. And that's the message that we want to look at this morning. We're going to be looking at David's life again. In Psalms 51, this chapter convicted me, and I want to just, with the Lord's help, bring some thoughts from David's life and what he represented here. There's something very deep and very convicting about this Psalms 51. Before we start, though, I want to have a little story I want to read. Tell stories about Jessica McClure. Some of you older ones maybe remember this story. It happened in 1987. It was made the national news. Jessica McClure, she was born in March of 1986 in Midland, Texas. She fell into an unused well in her aunt's backyard on October 14, 1987, at 18 months old. And I'm guessing we have some children here this morning that would be close to that age of 18 months old. This was national news, and some of you may remember this. Over the next 56 hours, rescue workers worked to rescue her from an 8-inch well casing. Now, for your children, you might wonder what an 8-inch casing looks like. My paper here is 8.5 inches wide. So, in circumference of this width here is about 8 inches. So, an 18-month-old fell down this well casing, 8-inch well casing, in which she fell down 22 feet. I believe the ceiling in here is maybe 19, so it was a little deeper than what the ceiling is at the peak in here. Local firemen and mine rescues came up with a plan to drill a parallel well and then drill a cross tunnel below her to rescue her from beneath. Enlisting the help from local oil drillers, they were hoping to deliver her quickly, but soon discovered that the well was surrounded with solid rock and their tools were insufficient. Their jackhammers soon became of no use. The call went out for more expertise, and within the next minutes and hours, drilling and mining experts began coming in by helicopters and police escorts, and equipment began coming by the truckload as night descended. A senior mining engineer was assigned to coordinate and supervise the rescue effort, and a relatively new form of technology was used. Water jet cutting was used to cut through the rock. 45 hours after she fell into the adjacent shaft, the cross tunnel was completed. During the rescue efforts, a microphone was lowered into the well so her parents could talk to her and listen to her. At times, they could hear her singing. Finally, paramedic Robert O'Donnell was able to inch his way into the cross tunnel and get to Jessica below her, where she was pinned inside with her one leg above her head. She went foot first, so her one leg was down and the other one was up. Her leg was, that's what was holding her there. When he got to her, he found that she was tightly wedged in this 8-inch casing. He worked, trying to get her loose, and he was struggling to wedge her out of there. He radioed up to his team of doctors and paramedics and said he's afraid he will break her body trying to get her out. And there was a moment of silence, and then the radio crackled, and the head doctor said, "If you must break her to save her life, then you must break her." Turning to Psalms 51. So this is a story. This is where David wrote this after he committed the sin with Bathsheba. And maybe we'll just turn back first before we read Psalms 51. If you turn back to 2 Samuel 12, we'll read the account of where Nathan came to David. We're not going to read the whole account of what David did here in 2 Samuel 11. We know the story. He committed idolatry, fornication. He murdered. He tried to cover up his sin. It was not good. And David and Nathan came to David here in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, "There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and furnished, nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. And did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock of his own herd, to dress for the wayfarer of the man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity.' And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And he gave thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine house, thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbors, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto him, "David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. So we see what Nathan had to say to David, and David's response there. how he was angry at this man till he realized what he had done. Now, turning to Psalms 51, let's read Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, but the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offering. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of the righteous, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bullocks upon thine altar. Title of the message this morning is out of verse 17, A Broken and a Contrite Heart. We see, or I guess we didn't read it, in 2 Samuel 11:27, it says, the thing that David did displeased God. So David had done something here that displeased God. And we want to notice right off in Psalms 51 here, as David begins writing these words, we notice the singular use of my sin, my iniquity, my transgressions. David was accepting responsibility for what he had done. And we want to notice David's sensitivity to sin. We can see a huge weight of guilt that was weighing on him. Throughout this chapter, the weight of sin is heavy. The weight of guilt is heavy. And David was carrying that. And if we can experience the same heart that David was experiencing here, realizing that we are human just as David was, we sin just as David sins, we need a broken and a contrite heart to stand before God. Let's consider for a minute what broken and contrition is. Literal definition of brokenness is is to be crushed, is to shatter, to break, to be repentant, to be humble. Contrition is to be remorseful, to be sorry for one's wrongdoing. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of brokenness. Sometimes life may seem broke. We see brokenness in the world around us of broken homes, broken lives. That's not the kind of brokenness we're talking about. We're talking about the heart that is broke, that is contrite before God, that is sorry for the sins that we've committed and for what we've done. We are not above David. We are the same human flesh as David was experiencing here. A broken spirit says, God, I need mercy. I have sinned against you. Without you, I'm lost. That's a broken spirit. Brokenness is to have an honest perspective of oneself. It's to see ourselves as God sees us. Our selfishness and our arrogance must be crushed before God can dwell in us, before God can use us. We must abandon self. David left such a clear picture here of letting go of who he was and what he had done, even though we see he was angry at this person too. Isn't that so much how we are? We are angry at the sins we see, and yet we're the very sinner we're angry at. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We must recognize our humanity. We need to recognize that we have a need that cannot be fulfilled within ourselves. We must recognize we need others to sometimes reveal that brokenness within us. If we can look at the opposite of brokenness, probably the most broad definition would be pride. Pride is the opposite of brokenness and contrition. I have a list that I came across of comparables between pride and brokenness, and I'll read those off, and it convicted and challenged me. Pride keeps us from praying. Brokenness causes us to pray. Pride is self-centered. Brokenness esteems others better than themselves. Pride takes credit for accomplishment. Brokenness recognizes all good comes from God. Pride seeks recognition from men. Brokenness seeks approval from God. Pride will make you cover up your sin. Brokenness frees you to be open and transparent. Pride is suspicious of others. Brokenness is suspicious of self. Pride quickly identifies pride in others. Brokenness identifies pride in self. Pride makes you critical. Brokenness makes you compassionate. Pride quickly applies preaching to others. Brokenness is quick to receive instruction. Pride believes I'm a good person that happened to do some bad things. Brokenness acknowledges that without Christ, I'm a sinner through and through. Pride seeks prominence for self. Brokenness seeks the preeminence of Christ. Pride deals with sin in generalities. Brokenness deals with sin specifically and specifics. So hopefully, when I preach and think of things, I tend to think that you probably all see things the way I see things. And maybe that's not always the case. But these things speak to me. I deal with these things. But I desire to have the heart that David had here. Heart of humbleness and a heart of brokenness. We already heard the thought of who needs to be broken before God. And we all realize, as the verse was read in Romans 3:23 already, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I believe we all believe that. We know we're sinners. In a general term. But when it becomes specific, when we are challenged with little things in our lives, do we still recognize that we are sinners? That we have a need? Whether young or old, we all need to be broken before God. As we get older, we may become more victorious in our lives, and we become more self-sufficient and forget that we still need to be broken before God. It's not in our own strength that we can live above. David here had a heart after God, and yet he still fell into sin. We need to be reminded that none of us is above the temptation and falling into sin. We need to remain broken before God. Point number one, brokenness reveals our need for God. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. God is our only hope. David, through this, he recognized that without God, without God's mercy to him, he had no chance. We read in 2 Samuel verse 13 there in chapter 12, it says there that the Lord, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. We see how quickly here, it almost seems like David's sin was forgiven. He wasn't going to have to pay the price of death. But that's only because of the attitude of David coming before God with a need, recognizing that he was in need at that moment. Psalms 34, verse 17 and 19 through 19. Psalms 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. David again writing here, recognizing God is nigh unto them that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When we are broken and we are contrite, it makes us realize who we are and who we are in need of. Isaiah 57:15 was their memory verse from a couple years ago. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. A contrite heart is softened by conviction. Conviction softens a contrite heart. Now, if we move down through chapter 51, if we go to verse 16 here. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou desirest not burnt offerings. What does that verse mean? God desireth not sacrifice, or I would have gave it, David says. I believe what he's saying here, if we are not broken before him, if we do not have a contrite heart and humbly come before him, God does not need our sacrifices. God doesn't need the good things that we can do. They're of no need to him. God needs your heart. God needs a humble, contrite heart before he can use anything that you can give. We can sacrifice our time to be here this morning, but it is of no good if we haven't gave our heart to God and allow him to break it into his will. David was before this has happened here in the Old Testament, is before the cross, before Jesus paid the price of sin. I don't know what David, he seems to have, through his writings, have a deep understanding, but I don't know that David really understood how God planned to pay for the sins of mankind at that time. But today we know Jesus' blood is sufficient for our sins. He paid the price for my sins and your sins. He paid the price for David's sins on the cross. We need to still have the same heart that David had here. Number two, brokenness sees the holiness of God. Isaiah 6:5. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes had seen the King, the Lord of hosts. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Recognizing who God is, our strength comes from God, and he alone is able to help us to live above and deliver us from the times that we sin and we fail. when we are afraid to let God break us and use us according to his will, we'll, at that point we have to trust in our own strength and our own wisdom. We have to protect our reputation, our abilities, because we're not trusting God for providing, for guiding us, for meeting our needs. We are self-sufficient, and God cannot use us, as we see here. God cannot use our sacrifices as long as we are not broken. Brokenness strips away our self-sufficiency. Number three, brokenness sees the ugly, recognizes the ugliness of sin. Verse 3 here, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Here again, you see the weight of guilt that David's carrying. His sin is ever before him. He is unable to get away from it. Without giving it and confessing it, David was going to carry this weight, and it was more than he could carry. Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Is that what David's saying here? He recognized the cost of sin and the price he was paying for it. Brokenness reveals the cost and convicts us. The prodigal son didn't see his need until he was broken in the pig pen in another country. Sometimes God allows us to get in these places so that he can let his light shine in. Just as a seed needs to be broken open before life can come forth, so do we. We need to be broken so the brokenness becomes a birthplace of growth. Just as the seed breaks open and dies, a new life comes forth, so can our lives be. when we are broken, we can't afford to confess our sins. We can't afford to be open because of the cost. It ruins relationships. It ruins marriages. It ruins families. It causes struggles in every situation when we are not broken before God. If we aren't broken, we feel threatened. We feel insecure. We have to defend ourselves. We need to recognize part of our responsibility is allow the Word of God to come into our lives and divide and to point out. We need the Holy Spirit to represent, convict us of areas that we can be broken in, that can be revealed in our own lives. And it also takes brothers and sisters to reveal those as well sometimes. We need to recognize that the emotions that we sometimes feel point to something in our lives. something deeper. We have to recognize those feelings that we're dealing with. Are we allowing God to use us? Are we pushing back? Number four, brokenness sees the goodness of God. As we heard already, are we a mirror of the goodness of God? Are we representing Him? Roman writer speaks of the goodness of God leads to repentance. When we recognize the goodness of God, it leads us to repentance. We see in verse 16 here where he says that God cannot use his sacrifices. And then if we move to 17, it speaks of the sacrifice being the broken spirit and a contrite heart. Then if we go to verse 18 and 19, we see here then that now God is willing to accept the sacrifices of the righteous. Once they experience the broken spirit, now our sacrifices are accepted. Now God wants a sacrifice. Now God. Verse 19, then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of the righteous, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And a couple verses there, the tone switch from God cannot use our sacrifices till now God can use them. The difference is a broken heart and a contrite heart before God. God will not despise the sacrifices of those. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Recognizing the goodness of God recognizes the importance of his word, God's word. When we're broken, the only thing that matters to us is what God thinks. And what God represents, we tremble at his word. We hold it to high regard. Number five, the blessings of brokenness. We see there's many blessings pointed out here in Psalms 51. First blessing we see in verse 12 here I want to point out is forgiveness. David experienced forgiveness because he was willing to be broken. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David wanted to experience the joy of salvation. Do you think he had lost the joy that he experienced in life through this whole situation? I'm sure he probably did. The weight was hard. He was asking for joy, to be saved again, to be restored unto that free spirit, the feeling of being free, to be redeemed. And that is a blessing that each one of us can have through brokenness, through coming to Christ. It's the experience of freedom, the experience of salvation. An unbroken heart cannot receive grace because it can't admit its need. Psalms 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Here again, David was acknowledging his sin and his iniquity. He didn't hide it when he was confronted, but he confessed it. And God forgave him. That's what being broken before the Lord looks like. We also see a blessing here of renewal and guidance that was offered to David when he made his things right here. The renewal of David's spirit is beautiful. You can see the weight being lifted off of David's spirit as we go through there, and it's beautiful. Psalms 25:9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. The thought of being renewed. I've heard it been said already, the reason we sometimes struggle to hear God's voice is because we have already decided what we want to hear from God. Is that a broken spirit? We have our ideas. And if we can't hear God, it's because maybe we want to hear what we want to hear. A contrite heart is teachable. We see David here being open and being teachable. The transparency that David gives here is just a beautiful picture. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When we are weak, then his strength can come in. His strength is made perfect in weakness. In ourselves and our human nature, we do not want to be considered weak. We'd rather represent strength. And the strength that God is offering us here is his strength. God wants his strength to be coming forth, not ours. God has so much power that he wants to be represented through us. Are we willing to accept it? God cannot make his strength known until we admit our weakness. And there's many examples of scripture where that is played out. We think of Gideon. When he was called to take up the battle against his enemies, and he was looking for men's strength to defeat the enemy, and God kept pulling him back and said, I want my strength to be represented, not human strength. And once they yielded to what God wanted, they handily defeated their enemies because they used God's strength. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. The renewal, and the guidance that he offers those that humble themselves and pray and seek the face of God. We also hear there was a calling. We have to turn from wickedness. Just as David did, confessed his wickedness and the forgiveness of sins, and then there's healing. God's renewal and guidance is offered in abundance if we are willing to accept. I was thinking of an illustration. When we have a hard piece of compacted land, when it rains, the rain cannot soak in. It just runs off and it will not produce. When we break the soil and soften it up, rain can soak in and it can produce. Just as an illustration for our own lives, as long as we are broken, the truth of God's word cannot enter, it cannot seep into our lives. But when we are broken, God's word can penetrate and it can produce a harvest. Another blessing of a broken heart and a contrite heart is the care and compassion for others that comes out of that. If you're like me, sometimes I wonder, why don't I have more compassion? You know, you deal with your problems and I'll deal with mine. I've had that conversation already. And as I read through this, I maybe come to realize more that if we are not broken, if we are full of pride, we'll struggle to have compassion and care for those that are struggling. And those that have hard times. You know, David quickly condemned this man that Nathan confronted him about. He had little compassion. At that point, it says he was angry. Is that, if we're not broken, we probably will have the same response. Once we experience God's grace and realize that we are all sinners, and we're all saved by grace. Joseph left a good example of that in his life when he was sold into Egypt and his brothers came and returned to the land of Egypt. And the example he left of the way he treated his brothers, he had the authority, he had the strength available to him to destroy them, to make them pay back for what they had done. But we see he had compassion on them. He still loved them, even for what they had done. So in closing here, let's remember the heart of David that is portrayed here in Psalms 51. If we can just take a little bit and grow and live out the spirit that is taught here, I think we'll all be better off. We'll all be more useful in his kingdom. We'll all be more caring for others. I'll just read it. Verse 17 here in closing. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just worship you this morning for who you are and what you've done for us. We praise your name for providing a way of salvation, for the cross, for death, and resurrection, for offering us new life. We come to you broken, allowing you to use us and form us to your image. Father, we just pray that we could represent you, represent your blessings. To those around us, pray that we could be a witness for you. Father, where we fail, we ask that you'd forgive us. Pray that we could have the heart of David. When we fail, that we could just yield our lives to you and draw into your image. Lord, we just pray for the needs of each one. Lord, we just pray that you would go with us through the coming week. As we go out, that your name could be glorified throughout the community, wherever we're at. Father, we just ask that your protecting hand would go with us. Keep us safe. Lord, we just pray for the many who are struggling, who are lost, who are living in sin, who are carrying the burden of sin, unwilling to let it down. Father, we just pray that your convicting spirit would continue, that we could all be prepared to meet you when you return. Father, we just pray. Thank you for the blessings of life that you've given us, so many blessings that we take for granted. Lord, we just want to use these blessings according to your will. Father, we just don't deserve the many blessings you give us. Lord, we just pray for children here this morning. Just bless them. Keep them for who they are. Just meet the needs. Lord, pray that for the parents as well, that we could represent truth, that we could represent you to the children you've entrusted us with. And pray for the older ones. Just bless them as well in their calling, Lord. Pray that each one could find their identity in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
5:21.
Hymn number 521, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me.
I too want to greet each one this morning in Jesus' name. I've counted a privilege to have been here this morning and to be seated under the sound of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. I was blessed and challenged and encouraged as I listened in and was thankful for the privilege to sit and listen. Thank you, Derek, for the call to worship. The thought of being a mirror, I was just thinking about that a little bit. I think whether we realize it or not, our lives are a mirror. Whether we realize it or not, we're reflecting something or someone all the time. So the question is, who and what am I reflecting? Now, either we're reflecting the world or we're reflecting Christ. And I trust this morning that we've been challenged to reflect Christ in our lives. That was one of the things, thinking of our lives, that I thought about. One aspect of my life is my tongue. And was just thinking about it. How am I doing with my tongue? Who am I reflecting when I talk with people and they visit with me? Who do I reflect with my tongue? It was just a thought that I had. It was something that I needed, I guess. So let's this week, let's go forth reflecting God, Christ. Thank you, Brent, for the devotional. I appreciated your testimony and the thoughts that you shared, the inspiration that you gleaned from Psalm 23:1 is something I want to take with me as well. I appreciated that. We have God. We have all that we need. So thank you. Identity in Christ. We just sang the one song here, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. It says there that thinking of in Christ, we are all sinners. It says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. That's who we are. Outside of Christ, we have nothing. So we come to Christ that way, and we can find forgiveness. We can be a new creature. The past is past. We don't need to look back. Let's look forward and set goals for our lives. Just some things that I jotted down. I'm God's masterpiece, handpicked by God for the work that he has me to do. I like that. If we want true fulfillment in life, we don't have to look very far. We don't have to go very far. True fulfillment comes from simply living each day to glorify God. So that's my prayer, that I can do that and that each one of us can do that each day of our lives and find true fulfillment. Thank you, Marcus, for the message, the study on a broken and a contrite heart. I was very timely, I guess, for me. So you were teaching on the positive aspect of a brokenness. It's not a negative thing. The word that came to my mind, I guess, was the word mellow. We know that mellow soil is fruitful soil, is fertile soil. And it can produce a crop that's fruitful. But on the other hand, a hard heart is pretty. It doesn't produce much other than weeds. And I think that's how it is in our spiritual life as well. Hard hearts produce nothing much more than weeds, but a mellow heart is a heart that God can use and that can bring glory to God. The comparison between pride and brokenness, I found that to be, that hit pretty close home for me. Pride takes credit for what I did. Brokenness gives God the glory, gives credit to God. Pride seeks the approval of self, but brokenness seeks the approval of God. Pride is suspicious of others, and brokenness is suspicious of self. Self can't be trusted. Pride is critical of others. Brokenness is compassionate of others. Just, again, like I said, some that hit very close home to me. A broken and a contrite heart is a heart that has been softened by conviction. And then the blessings of brokenness, and I don't know if I have them all, but just the ones I jotted down here. The blessings are forgiveness, freedom, joy, healing, care and compassion for others. A heart of care and compassion for others. Just scratching the surface of what the true, real blessings of brokenness is. So I was encouraged and challenged at the same time. I just want to thank the Lord and thank you, brethren, for taking the time to study and to teach us this morning from God's word. May God bless you. For announcements this morning, the medical fund collection is next Sunday. The order of service next week, Lord willing, look to Eric for the call to worship. It's Kenlin's turn for devotions, and it's my turn for the message. For the young people, singing tonight is at Nelson's. Next Sunday evening, it's be Sheldon's turn to host singing. Reminder of Group 2 sings next Sunday afternoon. And I was asked to announce that there's a blood drive planned again at the Bethany Reception Center. If I have it right, it's this coming Tuesday. Is that right, Marcus? This coming Tuesday, there's a blood drive at the Bethany Reception Center. So put that down in your calendars if you're interested. That's all that I have. Did I miss anything, brethren? All right, why don't we stand for the benediction this morning? Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Amen. So wishing each one of you the Lord's blessings this coming week, why don't we close with hymn number 542, Blessed Be the Dear Uniting Love, 542.